The pre-screening we come to now, this is the pre-selection process. So post-creation of the resumes, there would be certain steps involved in screening for qualification, screening on the basis of the experience, screening to see culture fitment, screening also to see the behavioral issues and the skills. So the pre-screening is about matching of the job resumes to the advertised required skills and competencies of the new hire. So the organization now has a position with its own set of job descriptions and key responsibility areas. The candidate, on the other hand, possesses the skills and the behavioral competencies. If they are a match, this is decided by the pre-selection process or the pre-screening process. So next few slides, we are going to look at this particular process. Well, if it is done in an efficient manner, the background checks often clear out the worst of these applicants, enabling companies to avoid many of the worst hiring mistakes. So pre-screening needs to be done in an efficient manner. Pre-screening consists of the background checks that we employ. Here we continue our discussion about pre-screening. What understanding we've developed about this process is that there need to be some investigation before actually going to the screening process. So pre-screening basically means a process which is before or precedes the screening process. Things like the background check are essential before we go ahead and recruit people in the company. Currently, the scenario is such that the people can apply for a new job by one single click in most cases. The pre-screening is the essential recruitment process step to handle all applicants with the required care and not to overload the HR recruiters and managers. Pre-screening also, what it does is it matches the skills mentioned in the job resume and the job cover letter with the real requirements of the hiring manager. The pre-screening is not about the pure administration of job resumes. So it's not just about filing of the job resumes and keeping them in a safe place or categorizing them. It's more about matching the skills required. The pre-screening can be conducted by an experienced HR recruiter as well. The fresh HR recruiter needs to gain knowledge about the job resumes and has to learn to find the key points in the job resumes to be asked during the job interview. The pre-screening eliminates job hoppers, people with unexplained gaps in their career paths, misspelled job resumes, and general applications to hundreds of different job positions across many organizations. So there are multiple purposes that pre-screening solves, like eliminating the job hoppers who frequently, these are people who frequently hop jobs, probably in a period of a year, less than a year, at times just a couple of years. Also, people with unexplained gaps, if they have a lot of gaps in their career which they cannot explain, probably resulting from just absconding from companies, thus they cannot put those on their career, on their resumes and so on. So these purposes are solved before the selection or the screening process. It's a pre-screening. It's done in the pre-screening. Let's now move ahead. Let's move on to the requirements of pre-screening. The pre-screening has to be based on the matching of the job description and the job resumes received. This is an important, you can say, principle behind the process of pre-screening. In this context, the HR recruiter has to see the essential requirements made by the HR hiring manager and make a detailed comparison with the job resume. It is difficult to make a timely and valuable pre-screening when no match with the job resume or with the job description is possible. The hiring manager has to deliver the document for the job vacancy opening. The pre-screening is a part of the operational recruitment. The excellent job description is a basis for making the decision or decision making. Hence, pre-screening is extremely important and is a crux of operational recruitment. Let's now move to the next slide, where we discuss the process steps required in pre-screening. Well, as you can see over here, we have enlisted in a diagrammatic manner the pre-screening process steps. In this particular process, we start with the HR recruiter having to collect all the job resumes for the job vacancy. So this is the very first step in the pre-screening process. In this, it is essential to set the goal of the number of job resumes to be passed to the phase of the phone interview. It is always beneficial to select up to 20 to 30 job resumes to be phone interviewed at maximum. The HR recruiter should make the process as quick as possible. The HR recruiter should quickly review the job resume for the grammar style, clarity of the job resume, and as mentioned in the previous slide, any gaps in the job resume which cannot be explained by the applicant. The job resume not meeting the quality criteria should be rejected immediately. The HR recruiter should match the skills and competencies to the required level in the next step with the rest of the job resumes. It is always beneficial to evaluate resumes in percentages. The job resumes can be ranked later when required. The successful job resume should be taken to the next step, that is the phone or the telephonic interview. The rest of the job resumes should be rejected immediately. So these were the steps required in the pre-screening process. In the next slide, we shall look at the design and content of the application form. As you can see here, we are going to look at certain criteria which are enlisted here, which should be a critical part of the application form. Some organizations or agencies prefer to have applicants use an organization-specific or an agency-designed application form. If that is the case, the application form should contain only elements or items that are lawful. Here, what we see are certain items which are to be excluded if you are designing a form, as these constitute being unlawful and should not be included on the application form. These include items which pertain to the national origin, the marital status, the physical characteristics, the age, any arrest records, religion, photos, disability related items, etc. The completed application serves the agency as a pre-screening device. It serves the applicant as a preview of himself or herself. From this point on, in the selection process, various tools will help verify what is stated on the application form. In the next slide, we continue our discussion about the design and content of the application form. Well, here now we shall look at the designing of resumes as a tool to help the recruitment professionals as well as the applicants. Resumes are creatively designed to reveal an applicant's strengths and hide the weaknesses. Now, this is one of the basic fundamentals, or you can call it as a principle, which every recruitment professional should be aware of. Ideally, what an applicant does is, they try to hide or try to cover the weaknesses or any problematic issues in their professional career, and they only highlight the strengths. So they are creatively, that's the reason why it's mentioned, they're creatively designed to reveal the strengths and hide weaknesses. They should be considered along with completed application forms, so as to get an understanding of how this process takes place, not in place of them, as they may contain information that is not available on application forms. So certain information where the applicant has genuinely worked on certain extracurricular activities which can be a good fitment in the culture, such kind of things will be revealed through the resumes which can complete an application form. So if they are in alliance or if they are in congruence or attached with the application form, they can provide a better picture of the applicant. There are two main types of resumes. Now, resumes have a particular setup, they have a particular way of being presented, chronological and functional. In the next few slides, we shall look at the chronological resumes, how they are. These are those which list the educational background and positions held and experiences gained by date. So there is, as we've noticed, as we've seen resumes, the common ones are always ones which have a set date, like a date when the person attended school, post that the junior college, the senior college, the specific master's degree, and so on. So we are aware of what this looks like. Starting with the most recent or current job usually is the way. At times it is the way around otherwise as well. There are six main factors that the evaluator should keep in mind during the reviewing process. This is they need to consider the job relevance, picture the position, and try to see how well each candidate might fit into that position. So once you have a resume or an application form, try to create a mental picture whether the person with those specific skills and experience, would they be a right fit for that position, and not to jump to any conclusions or assume anything, because resumes can be misleading. So just by looking at the face value of the resume or the things which are displayed there, you should not make a decision. Things to watch as a part of the six main factors that the evaluator should keep in mind are: watch for any vagueness, that is any ambiguity. So if things are not too specific in the resume, you should watch those particular things. Ignore any discriminatory information. So if there's any information which is put there which tries to bring an aura to the resume, you should ignore. Finally, it is important that the reviewer be reasonable and impartial. Extremely important. At times, with certain things, the recruiter should be reasonable and should not be partial during this particular process. Now we shall take a look at following individual screenings. So once the resumes have been reviewed, it is recommended. Now this is a recommended practice. This is what brings in efficiency and controls the number of unwanted people in an organization. What this states is, it is recommended that reviewers sort the particular resumes into three piles based upon the initial criteria selected. Now, what are those particular piles, or what are the broad headings there? Logically looking at things, they are divided into exceeds criteria. So one pile where the delegates or the job applicants who actually are exceeding, they have more qualifications probably or more experience or any of the other factors to exceed the given criteria in the job advertisement. Meets criteria is those people who exactly meet the criteria, and of course does not meet criteria. So those people who do not meet the criteria which is described in the job application or the application form or the job description. So these three files can be created. A specific method is devised so that we can understand which are the people to ignore and which are the people who move in to the next process. Let's move on now. If there are not enough strong candidates to move on to the interview process, it is important not to bend the criteria. Very important thing here. There have been many errors, many mistakes due to which organizations have lost a lot of time and money because the criteria were bent, because the niche positions could not be filled. In fact, an example here is of a niche process which was allotted to a previous organization, an IT organization where I was working in the capacity of a senior team lead training. In this particular company, it received a niche project from one of their prospective clients, and we required a ramp up of 25 people in the first week to start off or to kick off this particular process. Unfortunately, these positions at that time were not available in the market, were considered to be as niche positions. So some of the criterias were bent, resulting in people who are not technically competent or people who did not have the right comprehension of the technology which existed in the project. The result was that many people failed the technical tests put by the client, and some people were filtered out in the technical training. They found the technical training to be very complicated and sophisticated. So this was the result, which resulted in eventually people being pushed out, and again it costed the organization both time and money. So it's a good practice not to bend the criteria and not to pull people up from other stacks in order to have a large enough candidate pool to interview. So there are lessons learned from previous experiences, from previous organizations, based on which this particular analysis or this particular point has been put forward here in this slide. So it's a very important point to consider when you are actually dealing with creation of a pool of candidates. Let's move on now. Well, here in this particular slide and the next slide, we are going to look at the screening practices which are important to understand, which through which you can apply these practices so that the screening process becomes very efficient. When screening resumes, it's important to review carefully the appearance of the resume, the organization of the material, the objectives that underlie this particular process. So it's extremely important that we look at these particular things. In the context of appearance, we need to understand that it's human nature to make judgments on the way things look. Many people end up reading books just based on the cover. If they find the cover interesting, they read the book. They might miss out on reading many good books because the cover was not interesting enough for them. So an important lesson here in this context is that the reviewer should also question whether the resume is complete, whether it is neatly written, whether it is legible, and if everything is in the proper tense. So apart just from the appearance, these things should also be a part of the appearance as a part of the screening practice. The next is how well is the resume organized? What is the style of organizing this particular resume? So this is covered under the practice of looking for a careful scrutiny of the organization of the resume. So when screening a resume, reviewers also need to consider if the organization of the resume is proper and logical. The next point is the objective. So many applicants will not include an objective on their resume, which is acceptable. However, if it is included, one should review it. The reviewer should see if there is a match between the applicant's objective statement and the position for which the candidate has applied for. So extremely critical to look at this particular point, which actually comes at the very start of any resume. Let's move ahead now. There are three other important factors that we need to look at when we are mentioning the screening practices, those being the education, the experience, and any related activities that the person is involved in. Extremely critical that we scrutinize these factors before we move ahead. The first is the category of education. This category may be one of the most straightforward to evaluate. The evaluator should make sure to check the applicant's course of study. This should help the reviewer discover whether the individual took courses that provided the expertise needed to perform the job tasks. The next point being the experience. Here an applicant's work history and experience is the most critical information for most organizations. In this context, generally the best predictor of future job performance is looking at the most recent position held by the applicant. So this will give you a good gauge of the applicant's work history and the experience. The last point here is the related activities. When listed activities such as hobbies and personal interests may not directly be related to the applicant's ability to do the job, it may provide insight into the candidate's potential for future responsibilities. Most leadership positions or committee assignments require additional training or responsibilities. Hence, these activities need to be scrutinized and need to be made a note of by the recruitment professional. So the screening practices needs to be looked at from these six important factors, which would ideally be mentioned as a part of any resume which the applicant has provided. Well, now let's move on to look at the screening criteria, some elements, some points from the screening criteria. The criteria for effectively identifying the most suitable candidates for appointment should be identified in as much detail as possible. This is an important point in the screening criteria. The reason is because the company or the organization spends a lot of time and effort to recruit people, to screen people, so they should have the right match in the first go. The information contained in the position description and the vacancy announcement may serve as the basis for preparation of an objective screening tool. This screening tool should ideally, what it should do is it should eliminate from consideration those applicants who do not meet the required minimum qualifications. This is important because then if they do not meet the minimum qualifications, they would not be able to perform the task efficiently. The next point is this assigns a point value to those who meet or exceed the minimum qualifications by assigning a numerical value to each of the identified criteria, measuring the knowledge, measuring the skills, and measuring the experience. So you can probably put weightage to those people who meet the criteria and exceed. So the people who actually exceed the criteria by some points should be provided a preference rather than who barely meet or who do not meet the criteria. In this particular slide, we are diagrammatically looking at a list which consists of the analysis of applications or resumes. The analysis of an application or a resume will show three important things which we've listed here. The information at the face value that will be used to determine if the applicant meets the minimum education, the minimum experience, and the minimum skill requirements. The next point is the skills the applicant used in presenting the information and the way the applicant thinks, as revealed by the answers provided in the application. The way people present themselves in an application or a resume is only one factor to consider when making a hiring decision. This is an important point to be understood, to be considered by the recruitment professionals when analyzing of the applications and the resumes. All of the items considered in reviewing an application or resume should be lawful and relevant to the position being filled. So this is another aspect, or this is another point of consideration while analyzing the applications and the resumes. Let's now move on to the next slide, which relates to the miscellaneous or the other items to consider while reviewing of applications and resumes. Some of them as shown in the diagram would be the appearance, which we've already seen, the blanks or missing information, anything under scrutiny which comes out as missing information, overlaps in the dates. So if there's a chronological order in the education or the jobs that they have done, if there are any overlaps, why so? Why not, you know, a systematic method? Why do the overlaps happen? Frequency of job changes. So if a person is a job hopper, there would be a higher frequency, which is again needs to come under scrutiny. The salary requirements. So if there are any specific mentions in the resumes or the job applications, is there a right match to those requirements, or is there a vast difference between what is being offered and what is the expectation? The kind of job duties that the person is currently, you know, was currently executing, and the educational background. So these are the kind of things that need to be things to be considered while reviewing the applications and the resumes as a part of the design and content of the application form. Well, now we have reached a stage where the delegates or the applicants, you know, have been screened, or the pre-screening has been done. Their applications, their resumes have been screened, and few of them have reached the stage where they are prone to the phone screening. So the recruitment professionals can go ahead and screen them on the telephone, which serves as a mini interview. This is a mini interview in which the phone screening happens. A few introductory words on the purpose of the screening is essential. Again, a brief overview of the position in non-specific terms is required here. Knockout questions, so certain questions which actually are knockout or probably challenging kind of questions can be asked in this particular phone or a mini interview. The likes and dislikes in the past positions and the next positions can also be a point of query in this particular phone interview. The minimum salary requirements and the date available for employment. So if you notice here, in all these particular salient points or the salient features, these are very specific, from which the recruitment professional can cull out a lot of useful information. So hence it's called as the mini interview. Now we come to the shortlisting of applications. We've already seen the phone screening. Here the main criterion for successful shortlisting is identifying which essential and desirable qualities matter to you. So when you are matching the requirements of the organization with the skills of the candidate, you need to create a preferential order or a list and work at that to create a criteria or a criterion. So the criteria that you look for will depend on the nature of the job, but it's also important to define exactly what you really want from your ideal candidate before you start the shortlisting process. So this is critical. You exactly need to envision, we've discussed this in a previous slide, where you need to visualize what exactly do you require. So it's extremely critical that you understand what you want from a candidate, which will be an exact match to the job position. Some of the common qualities that you can check are as follows. These are quite common. These particular checks are quite successful. So things like the educational qualifications, the professional qualifications, that is any certifications done by the person. Let us say if the person is a software engineer, if he is MCP qualified, or if she is an Oracle qualified person, those kind of things. Professional experience, so what is the relevant experience that the candidate possesses, as well as the evidence of competencies. So evidence of competencies can come through if you've administered some tests, like any aptitude test or any things that the people have written in their CV. So these can be the evidence of the competencies. These can also come through any rewards the person has won in the previous organization, or any certifications that the person has done, any projects that were implemented, any innovation projects that were done in order to create a better working environment by the earlier in the earlier organizations. So these are extremely important qualities that can be that can form a basis or form a foundation for our scrutiny. let's move ahead. As a process or as a part of shortlisting applications, we can make this particular process more efficient. We can make it simpler. What needs to be done is the use of certain steps. Start with an idea about the number of candidates that you want to interview. So basically what you're doing is you're specifying, you're creating a filter there with the number, then conduct your shortlist in stages and set minimum criteria as the stage one. So here you, what you do is you are ideally in control of the recruitment process and you are selecting from a wide pool, but you're selecting the best and you're putting a cutout criteria. The next step is exclude the inconsistent applications as stage two. Last stage is filtering, post that is interviewing, and being flexible but sticking to the criteria is important in all these stages. So with this we complete chapter number 4, where we have seen the screening processes, we have seen pre-screening as an important process, we've seen the reasons behind screening, what are the actual things that you look forward to in any resume or any application form. Lastly, we've also seen the kind of steps or stages which can be used in order to, you know, restrict the selection criteria. So friends, with this we have completed chapter 4, and we're going to start now with chapter 5. Thank you.